This is Brayden from Between the Bubbles. Enjoy Matthew's review of issue 10 of X-Men. We are released under a Creative Commons license, share and share alike. We are produced by Almost Midnight Media. The bumper music is by Lust. You guys know all this stuff by this point. Blah, 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 blah. Enjoy the new episode. It was a lot of fun.
How was it?
It was pretty good.
Yeah? Who was the new guy we read about?
Kazar.
What was he dressed like?
Kazar.
Oh yeah, you're right, it's Kazar. What was he wearing?
He was wearing a cloth.
A cloth? Nothing else?
Yeah.
But they were down in a really cold place with snow. How did he not freeze?
Savage Land.
Savage Land? What's the Savage Land?
A place where dinosaurs live.
What kind of dinosaurs were there?
Pterodactyls.
Did they fight the pterodactyls?
Yeah.
How'd they beat them? So, Iceman shot him with his laser eye? Cyclops. What other dinosaurs did they see?
Long necks.
Long necks. That's right. And who was captured? Remember some of the X-Men got captured?
Marvel Girl and Angel did.
Yep. And who came to rescue them?
Kazar.
And who else?
Cyclops.
Yeah. How did they break down that wall and get inside? With his laser eyes? But when he made that hole, remember they kept shooting back at him and they couldn't go through it? What did Kazar do? That's exactly right. And what happened when he did that? That's right, too. Tell them what those booms are.
Elephants.
Yep, the giant elephants. And then they rescued him, and what happened at the very end?
Kazar said that they should never come back to the Savage Land again.
So you think tomorrow they might just go through that tunnel and come visit again?
No.
Why not?
Because boom, 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 boom.
So lots of booms. I'm guessing that those are the mastodons.
They knocked down rocks so they never come back.
Okay, well, tell us, Matthew, was this a good comic?
Yes.
Was
yes,
it a great comic?
Yes, yes.
Was it better than the last comic we read?
Yes, yes.
Are you a monkey?
No, no.
Alright, well tell everyone we're done for today.
We're done for today.
Well, this is Matthew and Jordan signing out.
This is Matthew and Jordan signing out. You were kind of gurgly.
Yeah, no. And that's why it's really funny, though, is because, like, she's not even, is she officially, she's officially divorced
she's officially
at this
divorced.
Point. But.
Anyway, we don't need to talk about that anymore because it's recording now.
Oh. We should stop talking about that. We need to cut it out.
Divorced. I won't, because we didn't say anybody's name or anything.
Divorced.
Could be anybody.
True. No, it'd probably be better if that's not on
her. I think I said her name.
No, I started recording after you said her name. All
right.
No worries. So, hi, I'm Brayden.
I'm Darren.
I'm Cassie.
Cassie, hi.
Hey.
Cassie's my wife. And I'm her husband.
Are you doing practice recording right now?
No, I already practiced.
Oh, really?
This is the podcast.
Oh, welcome, podcast listeners, Between the Bubbles.
I wasn't even going to say anything like that. We were just going to chat.
Oh, really?
Welcome to Between the Bubbles. I was going to put something at the beginning saying, hey, it's Between the Bubbles.
Oh.
Hi, it's Between the Bubbles.
I ruined it.
No, you didn't ruin it. So here's the deal, listeners. We don't have time to record a normal episode. So Darren came by to just say hi because we haven't seen him in a few
weeks. I know. School and Thanksgiving. Yeah. It has been a couple weeks. That's so sad. Mm-hmm.
So we just put a mic in the middle of the table and the dog is whining in the kitchen.
We locked him in there so he doesn't jump up on people.
Yeah, he's been really jumpy lately. He jumps up in everybody's laps.
Yeah, he does.
Especially like, I'll be sitting at my computer desk trying to write a paper and he'll kind of leap up like he's like, hello. Hello. And then if I'm not paying enough attention, he's like, pay attention! And he leaps in my lap.
Yep.
But that's okay. That's the puppy. So how was your Thanksgiving?
I went to D.C. Okay, so I have three brothers and their families who live in McLean, Virginia. And
so three of your brothers all live out there.
I used to have a sister and her family lived out there too, but they just moved to Colorado.
Why does everyone live in McLean?
Why not? This is why. So what happened is my two brothers, they own a software company. It's called Blue Mango Multimedia. They do a product. I'm going to promote them right here. Why not? Why not?
They do it. You can be our sponsors if you guys want.
Yeah. So they do a product called Screen Steps and Clarify. And what it is for small businesses. Or even a lot of school districts use them. And so if you have a task that you do for your job, a lot of times when that person leaves or they're fired or quit or they just get promoted, you now have to do a whole new training seminar for the new person and it can be a big pain in the butt.
Yeah, it can. Mm-hmm.
So what they do is this person can very easily just do a quick training manual with pictures on the computer screen and written out so that
amazing.
When you come in, you can just know exactly what to do.
I need that for my job.
You should check it out. I don't know what the prices are, but I can send.
You should try to license it for the library.
Ooh, that would be great.
Because then it's super easy to train new volunteers.
Yeah. It's like my sister-in-law who, I mean, she's not, I mean, she's like me. She's not like computer savvy. I mean, she knows how to use a computer, obviously, but she made a great training manual that I've been using when I've been doing billing stuff for my parents.
Oh, yeah. So
it's a great product. Blue Mango Multimedia, or maybe is it Blue Mango Learning? They changed the name, I don't remember what it is.
Blue Mango. Not to be confused.
Screen Steps.
Not to be confused with Red Mango, which makes delicious
yeah,
frozen yogurt.
Yes. It's Screen Steps and Clarify, that's the products, but really cool. Anyway, so my sister-in-law, one of their wives, is an ER doctor, and she got a job out in D.C., the hospital. And they're like, well, we can move anywhere because we work at home, you know. So they moved out there. And then my other brother, he was an accountant and got a job at PwC out there randomly. And so he moved out there. And then my sister and her husband at the time, well, they're still married, but when they were living there at the time, they just want to change the scenery from California and just decide to move out there. And now they live in Colorado. But, yeah. And then I might move out there. I don't know. I mean, who knows? I don't know. This is a long time from now. I don't know. I could live anywhere. I really love the area.
Sounds like a nice area.
Yeah.
Even if you're on the Virginia side. The Maryland side is better.
I don't know. I like Virginia. You like Maryland?
No, Maryland's actually a hole. I have a friend who lives in Maryland.
Okay.
Especially because you think of Baltimore. Baltimore is like the biggest hole of the whole of all of like metropolitan cities.
Okay, true, but they have duck pin bowling there.
What even is that?
Duck pin bowling. I did it when I was living in Pennsylvania.
Okay.
It's like bowling, but the ball is really tiny. Like, you can palm it, and the pins look like just tall candlesticks.
I have done that.
So much fun.
Sounds like baby bowling.
Oh,
it's not baby bowling. It's harder.
It is.
Because the ball... Because
everything is smaller?
Uh-huh. And the ball, it's hard to figure out how to throw the ball.
Yeah.
It's also how you do six-pin bowling.
Yeah,
Six-pin bowling uses that small ball. Mm-hmm. It doesn't have holes in it. It's just a ball.
Okay.
And so you got to figure out how to toss it.
It's fun. I didn't do it when I was out there, but I did in Pennsylvania. And then they have this cool aquarium that I hear is just amazing. Like, there's aquarium, the Shed Aquarium in Chicago that is blows your mind. Mm-hmm. I heard this one's even better.
That's
so
cool.
All I know about Baltimore is drugs.
Yeah. Yeah.
From The Wire.
Okay.
The Wire in Baltimore.
From The Wire.
So my
drugs, the corrupt unions, the corrupt politicians, and the corrupt newspapers.
Sounds
and
like
media.
New Jersey.
And the corrupt cops. That's all The Wire's about. Wow. Everybody's corrupt.
Well, okay, so...
Beautiful. Everyone should watch it.
My twin brother, Devin, who does the podcast Between the Reels, he was going to go to law school. He's looking at Maryland, and it's in Baltimore.
And he was telling me the story. And then they, like, walked through that part of town. They're like, never
mind. Well, my mom was visiting them when they're checking it out, and she, like, has her camera out, taking pictures, and all these shady guys, like, looking at her. She's like, put the camera away. What are you doing? She's like, oh, no, I want to take a picture. He's like, no, you're going to get us killed. It was funny, but
really
yeah, so yeah, I love McLean, and I went to this awesome ice exhibit, this hotel called the Gaylord Hotel on the Maryland side.
I'm sold already with anything like that.
It's this big fancy hotel, but they had this ice exhibit. It was Shrek themed, and they had ice sculptures from China come all the way over here and make these amazing and big ice sculptures. I mean,
the sculptors came and made the sculptures.
How dare those Chinese men steal American jobs? Where's the American ice cutters?
These guys were skilled. You know.
I'm kidding.
I know. So it was awesome. And then I went to the zoo down there, which was fun. Love the zoo, because that, and if you're by that area, by DC, during this time, Christmas time, or you know, holidays time, whatever, Christmas, Kwanzaa, Hanukkah. So they light up the lights out there in the zoo. Yeah, you know.
Festivus for the rest of us.
Festivus.
Ramadan, isn't that around now?
The holiday season.
You know, that has the end of Ramadan.
Oh, okay.
So
they have, at the ice sculpture, they did have a nativity at the end. So if you're not like into that, then just to be aware. But they had just...
Please tell me it was a Shrek nativity.
It wasn't.
With
it was
Fiona and a little baby Shrek Jesus.
You know,
I would pay money for that. That would be worth my $3.
You would have to pay money.
That would have been worth my $30 though.
Yeah.
Shrek Jesus.
No, it was your typical nativity.
Okay.
But they had they had holiday lights for the zoo that were light up at nighttime. You can't see any of the animals, but it was still cool to walk around. And it's free. If you take the metro, you don't have to pay except for the metro, which is like $3.
Nice.
But if you're doing parking, it's around $20. But
so
it was awesome.
Take the metro.
It's fun. It was clean, safe. I really liked it. But yeah, I had a great Thanksgiving.
We're promoting all kinds of stuff too.
I know. And I played football and embarrassed myself multiple occasions during Thanksgiving. I dropped like 5-foot passes multiple times.
Nice.
In fact, my nephew told me, Brigham, who I recorded while I was out there, and you will love
we'll
it when you hear.
We'll be coming up shortly over the break sometime when Darren's elsewhere and busy.
So. He comes up to me, he's like, hey, Uncle Darren, you really should have stayed home and worked on the turkey and biscuits. Like, why? Because you got butterfingers. I'm like, oh, when your 9-year-old nephew talks trash to you about your lack of catching skills. That was a low blow.
You know you're in trouble.
Anyway, so I had a great Thanksgiving, though.
Dude, here's a question for you, Cassie. This is in my brain because of what we just said.
Because of things.
Of all of the subways you've ever been on, what's the dirtiest and scariest?
The dirtiest?
And scariest. Because you've been, we've been on
is
most
there a separation?
Of the same subways.
Yeah. Yeah, because
we've been in New York. I've been to Boston. I've been to D.C.
I've been to Boston, D.C., Madrid.
Boston's was kind of scary.
Barcelona.
Rome.
I have not been to Rome.
The ones in Rome are really ineffective.
My mom's
so are Boston's.
Butt got squeezed
Boston's
on Rome
right.
Metro.
Really?
This guy went up to her and was like, hey, Americana, or whatever you say. He's like, squeeze her butt. And she's like, what? Slapped him.
Good for her.
Good for your mom.
Yeah, she was a little taken back by that.
Let's see. I would say the dirtiest are probably some of the ones that go over to Brooklyn.
Those New York ones.
Really?
I think
especially when
sketchiest of all.
Especially
the
when
subways
it's
I've been
when
on.
It's late and there like aren't that many people, and so you aren't distracted by the people, and you see like all the trash that's left, and it's like at the end of the day.
It feels like you're in Batman Begins.
The subway, the metro scene,
metro in Batman Begins, where it's just like graffiti everywhere and it's dirty, and you're like. This is kind of a hole. Am I going to get murdered by this person?
I felt like the ones in Spain were really clean.
They were super clean, especially Barcelona's were even nicer than Madrid's.
I don't know that I ever took the ones in
Barcelona's were the nicest
really
I've ever been on in my life.
Because like the DC ones were really clean.
Barcelona is a tourist town par excellence.
That's what I heard.
So they make sure that it is immaculate and you always feel safe.
This is one complaint about the DC Metro, just because I've only been on that in Boston.
Yeah.
And I've been on New York. New York was dirty. And scary.
Boston's is weird because they have these like weird sort of mini in-between trains.
Well, and, yeah. And they have, like, trolleys.
Yeah, the trolley.
Yeah.
The trolley's
yeah.
cool, though.
Like, the trolley
yeah,
is cool.
Yeah, but they're super, like, weird and slow and kind of sketch-looking.
It makes no, like, logical sense. You're talking about our day and age of having those trolleys, but
well,
it's still
and
fun.
Well, and you have to, like, walk up to get into them. That's what's weird to me is
yeah,
that,
what if you have,
is that
what
your
if
platform
you have,
isn't at,
disability.
Like, entrance level. Yeah.
But so the DC Metro now, if you're a first-time user or you don't have like a Metro Pass mm-hmm. like me, you have to buy a paper card which charges you $1. Now you'd logically think mm-hmm. that when I put my fare in there that I'm going to use, that would automatically charge me the $1. But mm-hmm. no, you have to add the extra $1 to when you like put the amount that you're paying for. So I didn't know that,
mm-hmm.
and so I was like stuck behind. I couldn't exit the Metro.
Oh no!
And so then they don't have to put more money on your card. They have a change machine, but it's only dollar bills. So you don't have a credit card machine. So like, what is up with this? So I like finagle my way with the Metro guy and finally let me through because
well,
I'm a tourist.
I'm sure you're not the only person that's
yeah, right? Well, then I did it again on the way back though. Like, and so the lady's like, so one lady was totally not friendly and wasn't helping me out, but then another lady's like, well, if you take off your shirt, then I'll let you buy. Thank goodness she was kidding because, like, look, lady, you do not want to see this shirt off. But I mean, I just...
Oh, everybody wants to see
that. That's funny.
I have... You guys haven't seen me by hulking muscles. Actually, I really don't, but I'm really tiny. Anyway, so, yeah, just one of those things where, come on, DC Metro. Like, in our day and age, you can just charge me the $1. Like,
yeah, well,
and I was already a little stressed out because I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm right. a tourist, obviously.
Yeah.
I'm
well,
from,
the thing about mass
and you're on
transit...
you're to go, you know, spend some time with somebody.
Yeah, so, I mean,
the,
it's just...
The thing with mass transit that I think is really ridiculous is that it needs to be designed similar to the way airports are designed, where if it's your first time there, you can figure out how it works. Because
yeah.
that's
yeah.
how airports have to function.
Yeah.
And public transit
and there,
needs
it's
to work.
Not
it's,
that way.
The thing
yeah.
about airports is not only are they easy, like, navigation, but they're universal navigation.
Yeah.
You know, like, you can go in not speaking whatever language they speak in
but
the
you can
country,
recognize the symbols.
But you know the symbols
no,
and
yeah.
you can figure it out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and mass transit needs to be that way because otherwise people aren't going to use it. Like, I, you know, if you want to use the bus system here in Iowa City, they've gotten better with the scheduling, but it is really inaccessible. Like, for the longest time, I couldn't figure out when the buses ran. You just had to, like, find a stop and, like, hang out and, like, hope that a bus would come at some point.
Well, and, that's
and you
stupid.
And you didn't
like,
know what stops
house,
it would make.
The one in front of our house stops at 7, 8, nothing until 3, 4, 5, 6,
yeah.
6:30, 7:30, 8:30, and then it's on the 30s after 6:30. Like, what?
Yeah, it's
makes
just
no
really
sense.
Weird.
It's stupid.
Anyway, so mass transit should be more accessible.
Amen. Yeah,
that's
should.
The moral of that story.
So how was your guys' Thanksgiving after I just went off?
Ours
like
was low
10 minutes.
Key. It was just the two of us and the pup.
It was pretty chill.
We weren't even gonna do Thanksgiving stuff.
Yeah.
But then Cassie, I felt, was feeling sad that we weren't doing anything
yeah,
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I was feeling
I love Thanksgiving. I don't even like turkey, but on Thanksgiving, I love turky.
I just,
and stuffing.
I just
oh,
love mashed
Lord.
Potatoes more than anything.
It's true.
Right? You like sweet potatoes? Are you sweet potato?
I love sweet
oh, really?
Potatoes, but Cassie's
sweet
not
potatoes
sweet
are like
person.
Mushed candy. It tastes yeah. so good.
Yeah. I like sweet potato fries. I don't like mashed
potatoes. Oh, yeah, sweet potato
fries. It's too sweet for me or
this
something.
This is the thing. So my sister-in-law made these sweet potatoes. They had like, and I don't like coconut. I really don't. I like the flavor. I don't like the texture.
Okay.
But they got like burnt, not burnt. It was like toasted coconut
like
on top.
Like candied or toasted.
Oh,
probably.
Yeah. And then these sweet, it was, oh. It was so good. And then they put turkey drippings in the gravy. Which,
ooh.
If you have never done turkey drippings in your gravy, you should.
Your fresh, like homemade gravy.
Oh, yeah.
From the
if you're making homemade gravy,
oh,
use turkey
I've done
dripping.
It before. We did a turkey breast. I was going to make one with the, I was going to make a homemade gravy with our turkey drippings, but. Because of the type of pan I did our little turkey breast in,
there were no turkeys.
Oh, really?
They just
they dried
burned.
Out completely.
I never had it before, but that was like heaven and gravy.
Yeah, that's
that was
my grandma
so.
Was
I, oh, really?
Yeah.
You grew up with that?
Yeah, every year.
Oh, I'm jealous.
That's how
it was so good. It was just like my turkey is like exploding in my mouth when I put the gravy on the turkey. I mean, it was just. Oh, it was heaven. Anyway, so what else do you guys do?
Yeah, we just, I mean, I went on Wednesday and I went shopping. I braved the crowds.
Was it
bad?
It
wasn't that bad.
That's good.
But everything was on sale, luckily, because clearly they knew they had a captive market, so they could sell.
Well, and
all
a finite
stuff.
Window if they don't sell it
and a finite
the
window.
Day
yep.
before Thanksgiving.
And so we had, you know, the traditional, just about everything. I mashed some potatoes. We did a turkey breast.
Mm-hmm. We did cranberry sauce from the can.
From the can. Yeah.
In the shape of the can.
Like,
when it comes out, you can see like the ripple.
Yep.
I even wanted it to stay in that shape because it wouldn't come out. And I was like, come on, Cassie, we got to get it out. She's like, just scrape it out with a spoon. And I'm like, no, it has to be in the gelatinous form of the can.
It ruins the aesthetic, though. It looks really cool.
Yeah.
That's
anyway,
not how we eat it. When I was growing up,
we got
my parents still do this. My mom makes it from scratch.
Really?
She makes cranberry sauce from scratch. And it's much better. Homemade is much better. That's what we did last year, but it's just the two of us. It wasn't worth it to buy a pound of cranberries to make cranberry sauce.
That would be ridiculous.
I mean, it was cheaper to buy... I could have bought 6 cans of cranberries for the price it would have been for fresh cranberries, so I was like, it's two of us, screw it.
Yeah, my mom would always do the canned cranberry, but then she would, like, cut it into slices, so it always looked like beets. It looked like beets to me, beet even though
stuff,
beets
yeah.
don't, I don't know.
Well,
I don't,
the color
it,
of beets.
It does, though, it does look like
it
beets.
Like
I thought it was beets,
meat, yeah.
Which, surprisingly, beets taste pretty good.
I still
don't eat them because I don't like how they look.
You've never had beets?
No.
They're good. I will never eat them though, as I said, because it's just like, oh, they're beets.
No,
and I think of like beet chews
like
from. Do you remember Doug from Nickelodeon? Didn't he like
yeah.
beets?
I didn't have.
No, there was the band The Beets.
Oh, the band The Beets. Yeah. I don't know.
But
who
they were.
The,
up,
they were like
we
a Beatles knockoff.
We grew up eating. We always eat shoestring beets when we had macaroni and cheese in my house.
That
really, shoestring beets.
Yeah,
mac and cheese.
The shoestring cut beets with our mac and cheese. And so then you like mix them together and it turns your mac and cheese kind of a pink color.
Wow.
That's really good.
Did you ever put hot dogs in your mac and cheese?
Of course we did.
Oh man, that was heaven. I don't think it'd be good now.
You ground beef.
What?
You brown up some ground beef and put it in your mac and cheese. That's pretty
Speaking good. Of ground beef, the best thing when I was a little kid I'd probably hate now, Hamburger Helper. Oh my.
I loved it when I was a kid. It's
oh,
precious.
Yeah. But they're lasagna?
There's a reason we don't buy it.
Oh, their lasagna
because,
was like...
Because it's nasty.
That was like...
Full of terrible, terrible things.
Oh.
If you want to just... I mean, I can make something similar with, like, ingredients.
With, like,
and it's
real
not,
food, not just
yeah,
chemicals.
Yeah, and it's not chemicals and preservatives.
I know, but when you're a little kid, that was the meal. If I saw
cheesy
we're having
hamburger
helper lasagna...
Yeah, cheeseburger hamburger helper.
Oh, I may have peed my pants of excitement. Like a bull to puppy.
Like a little puppy.
Not literally, but figuratively. I got excited. Maybe literally. I don't know. I was a little kid. I don't remember.
Who knows?
Who knows?
Yeah. No, the most fun part of our Thanksgiving break was we went over to a friend's house for Friendsgiving, which was...
Oh, that's a cool idea.
Which was the Friday after Thanksgiving.
And you're supposed to...
So you didn't do Black Friday.
Well, we kind of did.
We went out at like 4 p.m.
Oh, I remember seeing this on Facebook, but...
Just like to see... Well, we thought we were going to have to go out because our microwave died.
That Friday, it exploded.
But then I unplugged it and just left it alone for a while,
and then it
resurrected.
Does it still work?
Yeah.
Last 2 weeks hasn't given us any...
I think it just got overheated. We were making some Christmas presents that required lots of microwaving to melt stuff, and I think it got overheated.
Yeah.
So...
Makes sense. So, okay, Friendsgiving.
Yeah, so we went over to...
So you take, in theory, you take all of your leftovers from Thanksgiving.
Yeah, and then everyone's leftovers come together, and then you have like a second
Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving.
No, that is the season of giving, because I don't want to give my leftovers. I'll be honest.
Well, so we didn't
have any really leftovers.
We had like some of our canned cranberry sauce, and like that was it. Because we made...
A little bit of turkey.
Because we made our very favorite thing, which is Thanksgiving wraps for lunch on Friday, which is you take a tortilla, and you put in turkey... And mashed potatoes and some stuffing and a little bit of cranberry sauce and some cheese. And you warm it up and you wrap it up like a burrito. And
oh,
it's
Oh, that sounds
so
really good.
So we ate all of our leftovers basically before we went. So we didn't bring anything. But literally every single other person who went did bring stuff.
That's good.
And so it was really
good. So
we felt
kind of like cads. At least I did.
Yeah, we felt bad. Because they went around the table and everyone said what they brought. And then we came down to
cranberry
like,
sauce!
And the thing is, these were like...
These are new friends.
The thing is, not only were they new friends, but these are people...
I didn't make a great first impression.
We were the youngest people there, I would say, without a doubt.
Yeah.
And...
By how many years?
Well...
You're talking about like decades?
Oh,
okay.
No.
That's not bad.
They're like mid-30s. I feel
okay.
like everybody else...
Like, I was definitely the youngest.
You were definitely the youngest. Because the only other person who seemed young was like, I just turned 30, and my boyfriend's 34, so...
Yeah, we were like, oh.
We're like, okay, so we are the youngest ones here. But everybody else is like... a little older, is like professional.
There are so a lot of, like, almost everyone there was an entrepreneur. And, like,
how do you know these people?
These cool things. So the guy who hosted it is a member of the James Gang, which is the parent organization of the library, the Antelope Wedding Library.
Okay.
So he invited us, which was really great. And
yeah, and it was a lot of fun. But again, I felt bad because we didn't have anything. But everybody else's stuff was like, oh yeah, this is
like
some,
this,
like,
gourmet.
Yeah, gourmet stuff. That there's no way Cassie and I could ever afford that at this point in our lives. They're like, oh, we just had ours catered by
food. We had ourselves catered?
Yeah, yeah.
They made people work on Thanksgiving?
No. I think this is what happened. I think that the people who brought that stuff, I think they also didn't have leftovers because they went over to someone else's house. And so then they, like, went and bought Thanksgiving-type food from this restaurant and brought it.
Get this. Speaking of catering. Mm-hmm. So my parents have these friends in their home, and they want to have a Christmas party on Christmas Day.
Okay.
So what do you do when you're having a party on Christmas Day? Instead of having the logical and the kind thing of having people bring their own food to share.
Right, like have a potluck.
You have caterers.
On Christmas?
On Christmas.
You better pay them a lot.
It was on a Sunday. So, it's a weekend on Christmas. You're spending your Christmas away from your family to cater other people.
Yeah.
I was just like, this is so
bizarre.
That's weird.
Why in the world?
I'm not going to lie. When I lived in New Mexico, we didn't have anywhere to go on Christmas morning. And so we went to IHOP. And my friends and I, we got like an IHOP breakfast or whatever. So, you know, like $7-$8.
Yeah.
And each one of us left a $10 tip for our waitress.
I think that's different than going to IHOP and having people cater at your house.
So we gave an $80 tip to this woman, and she was sobbing as we walked out. We're just like, Happy Christmas.
See, and at least you gave them a great tip. Maybe they gave them a great tip.
And she did give us, she'd given us great service, and we felt bad that she was stuck working at frickin' IHOP on Christmas morning.
But you were glad she was there, because otherwise you couldn't go.
No, we were glad she was there, and we wanted to pay her for her efforts, and so we did.
But I felt so weird going to this Christmas party where you see the caterers, like, standing around working, like, why am I here?
The servants.
To be fair, not everyone celebrates Christmas. So
they had crosses on.
Okay.
They celebrated Christmas.
Okay.
They were Latino, and they had, I mean, because I feel, at least in California, a lot of Latinos are religious.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and no, that's fine. I mean, I wasn't there, so.
Yeah. But I mean, they were wearing the crosses. So I think they were like trying to like celebrate their own way of Christmas. Like, I'm stuck at work.
Yeah.
There's other people's house.
Feliz Navidad.
Yeah.
Feliz Navidad.
You know, it's like, really? Come on. It's Christmas. If you're gonna have a Christmas party, that's totally cool.
Mm-hmm.
But
potluck that baby.
Potluck it, yeah.
Or have it ordered in and just make it so that you need to throw it in.
You pick it up the night before.
Speaking of parties that are catered, that
and I felt
are
so weird. I felt bad. I was like, Anyway.
So I one time worked at a party as a server. It was like friend of a friend. Like, would do this regularly, and there was someone who needed people to serve, and she was busy, so she was like, well, would you be interested in doing it? And I was like, yeah, okay. So it was at these people's house. I'd never been there before. I didn't know these people. And it was me and this other woman who I'd never met before. And it was, they had all of these hors d'oeuvres that they heated up, like, from Trader Joe's.
Divorce.
And then they had
My last name, divorce.
And then they had all of these different alcoholic beverages, which, like, is totally fine, but I don't drink, so I have no idea what any of this stuff is. And I assume that the other woman who's there, she's like in her mid-30s maybe, that I assume, and she's had done parties before, so I assume that she would know. So find out, like, you know, half an hour into the party when we run out of the bottle of wine that's been opened and we have to open another one, find out she's Muslim, she also doesn't drink alcohol, neither of us literally have no idea how to open a bottle of wine with
or even if they even say a certain name, you're like, I don't know what I'm looking for.
Exactly. It was ridiculous. And we both thought it was really funny because we each just had unspokenly assumed that the other person would take care of it. And so we had to awkwardly ask the host.
I didn't know. So Muslims don't drink alcohol.
Yeah, strictly speaking.
Really?
Yeah.
I did not know that. That's neat.
Muslims aren't supposed to drink alcohol, but their, like, cultural attaché with it is a lot looser than, say, Mormons.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's
give Mormons 1,400 years and they'll probably feel the same way.
I think their relationship is more like Mormons and caffeine drinks, maybe, where like some people are really strict about it and then other people are like, it doesn't matter. I think it's more like that.
Yeah.
But anyway, it was really funny. So that's what that reminded me of. It was catering parties and having it be super awkward.
I worked at catering in my undergrad. It was the worst job. We have these old people there, right? Elderly. Mm-hmm. And I automatically assume that they're going to be really nice, really loving. No. They are mean.
Old people are
wicked. They are. Like, I'm not dissing old people, but these old people.
Oh, I'm dissing old people. Old people.
They were mean. And the thing is, it's like, I just expect that they're going to be like my grandma and my grandpa. Well, granted, well, my grandma's interesting, but my mom's mom.
My grandma's mean, so that's why I know my grandma's mean. Grandma Jones?
I like her.
I love her. She's mean.
Yeah, and so like, they're
getting
mad at you.
She's a lot nicer nowadays than she was when I was growing up.
I believe you.
I hated that job.
I hated
it. It was a sucky job. Mm-hmm. Anyway, we're eating cookies right now. These are good.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, we should probably talk about comic books a little
bit. Yeah,
comic books. Comic book podcast.
Okay, tell me what you read, because I was greatly disappointed this week.
Well, in the last couple of weeks, let's just talk about some of the cool stuff that came out. I guess we haven't talked about Indestructible Hulk yet.
Oh, Indestructible Hulk.
What'd you think?
Oh.
Indestructible. Because I know you were really excited about it.
I loved it. That is the... I'm going to say it's different than Avengers Assemble, because Avengers Assemble was its own amazing beast.
It's a creature of hearts of a different color.
Yeah. Incredible Hulk, or Indestructible Hulk, was great because it perfectly continued the story that Jason Aaron did on The Incredible Hulk.
Mm-hmm.
It was great for new readers who liked the movie, because now Bruce Banner is a scientist and talking about how he's upset that all the people who are known as the scientific minds are Tony Stark and Reed Richards. So he's so now he's going to be more of the science
like,
part.
I'm as smart as they are.
He's like, I've been trying to do everything for bad. I'm going to now try and do it for good. And so it is a great jumping on point for everybody. I thought it was the best title, solo title, not a team title, but solo title, to really capture the essence of what Marvel now is really trying to create. I thought so.
I think that's fair. I still think we'll see how I feel about Indestructible Hulk when issue 2 comes out.
Mm-hmm.
But especially after issue 2 of 4.
Was it good?
Best book of the Marvel now.
Yeah, see, okay, podcast readers.
Because, like,
and listeners.
The first issue was good, but it was kind of split between those three.
Yeah, yeah.
Aaron wisely chose to focus almost entirely on young Thor in issue 2, with flashes to old and middle-aged Thor, but it was almost entirely focused on Thor's first meeting with the God Butcher.
Which is good for new readers.
It was
who liked the movies.
It's a perfect place for a new reader to start reading Thor books. But B, Issa Rubik's art is so good.
Yeah. And that was the one thing with Indestructible Hulk. The art was okay.
It was too dark.
Yeah, and just on the faces looked a little interesting
sometimes. The action scenes were too dark. And I felt like... I liked Lionel Yu's style. But you know how he always does the out-of-panel stuff? Like, parts of the panel will be sticking out of the panel. Parts of what going on. Sometimes they would interact with each other.
Yeah.
Things would be overlapping in weird ways. And so I felt like... maybe stick in your panels a little bit more, dude.
Yeah. So, unfortunately, I'm not going to get Indestructible Hulk in Mighty Thor because I'm getting really busy with school now. I start the clinic soon. I got 8 titles on Wednesday. It took me till Friday, Saturday to finish them. Was it Saturday? When did I text you? No, it was Saturday.
Saturday.
It took me till Saturday because I had other stuff going on.
You're more dedicated to school than I am because I have, like... 6 papers I still need to write before the end of the semester. I went on Wednesday afternoon to the comic book store. I had them all read by 2:30 on Wednesday afternoon.
Because
I just came home and I was like, I'm reading comics now. I'm going to work afterwards.
Yep, that's true.
So I'm honestly, my budget, I can't get them and I wish I could, but.
I'm reading a loaner copy of Thor and Hulk and all those.
Yeah, so.
I can't afford to buy them, but I can borrow them from someone else.
Yeah, I had to hack my pull list, I think, in half. I think it was in half. I was getting 30 tiles, now I'm getting 15. And that'll cut a little bit when some tiles get canceled or miniseries get done.
Mm-hmm.
It's a sad day in my comic book reading world, but...
gets expensive.
It is expensive. Yeah, that's the thing. It's expensive.
I'm working on trimming mine down too.
Which I appreciate.
So does our
it was hard. It was hard. Like the little part of me died inside as I emailed my local comic book shop with my new updated list. I was like, do I really want to do this? I know, I want to help, because you do. The one thing is, if you like your comic book shop owner, you'd like to buy more tiles because it gives them more money, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like I'm kind of like hurting him. I am hurting him financially. Not like a huge chunk, but still, you're like,
But it feels more personal.
It does feel more personal, because
if I'm buying them from Toys R Us or...
Oh, I don't care. But... And I really like Tim. And this is...
Does Twitter sell comic books?
They do.
Oh,
really?
I didn't know them.
Wow.
So, not very many, but...
They do.
They do sell.
Because I feel like... And I've said this before. It's like Cheers. You know the people there.
It's
and
true.
You know them on a personal level. And
it's true. Everyone in my shop knows me.
Yeah. So... Well, what did you pick up that you really liked?
That I really liked?
My Little Pony.
My Little Pony was so good.
If people at IGN were upset that IGN didn't review My Little Pony.
They should have been, because it was a great comic.
And IGN's like, we wouldn't get enough clicks. And like, well, you got 900,000 orders. Like, how many people would not click?
900,000.
That's what some people are saying, that like, there's 900,000 orders for My Little Pony. I don't know if it's true or 90,000. Oh, they got their zeros wrong then. They put 900,000.
Well, I mean, 900,000 is ridiculous.
That's what I was surprised.
I mean, how many copies of
maybe it was 90,000. Maybe I read it as 900,000. But
how many copies of Justice League sell each month?
Oh, like 100,000.
Yeah,
that doesn't make sense. Yeah, it's 90,000.
And you know, like Hawkeye sells about 35,000 each month is all.
Really, only that much?
Yeah.
People go, if you can afford it, go read Hawkeye.
You should be reading Hawkeye.
It's amazing. So,
My Little Pony was great.
Yeah, what made it?
The writer was able to capture the voices of the characters perfectly.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it felt like you could easily see the character. You could hear the voices from the TV show in your brain while you were watching it.
Really?
And it didn't feel stressed or strained or like they were acting out of character. But I think most importantly, the artist didn't make it look exactly like a TV show.
Which would have been very easy to do.
It's just like, I feel like the same way about like Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, for example. If you aped the exact style of the TV show, then it would look empty. Because there's so much more going on in animation, there's so much more stuff moving. You can't.
You don't need
to
be as detailed either.
Yeah, but when it's static images, you have to be more detailed.
Yeah.
And so the artist did a great job of having a far more detailed style while still staying true to the design of the show.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought it was great. I thoroughly enjoyed myself. It's a great all ages title. Anyway,
really?
And all the bronies. Well, the bronies are gonna love it too.
Bronies.
So you think? So this is good for bronies. They're not gonna be disappointed.
Oh, I loved it. I thought it was a great comic.
And Brayden is a brony, despite his protestations to the contrary.
I kind of am, I suppose. I have a drawer of My Little Ponies in the other room.
Yes.
And I watched the show on Netflix.
I'd say you're a brony.
So I guess that makes me a brony.
But I don't think it's a bad thing to be a brony.
Well, they get a bad name because they're stupid and weird, a lot of them.
Well, comic book readers get a bad name.
Yeah.
It's true. All I know is that I thoroughly enjoyed myself. It was funny, though. They have... IDW made 6 covers for the first issue.
Wow.
With each of the main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And so I had to, like... They didn't have cover A, which has Twilight Sparkle, who's my favorite one.
Oh, that's disappointing.
She's my favorite one. And so I had to choose between B through F of the other ones. So I was.
Why didn't they have A?
Someone else bought it.
They only had one copy of A?
Well, that means that they had 6 copies of the book. And they, I mean, no one pre-ordered. I mean, if they pre-ordered it, it's already in their thing.
Yeah.
They had 6 on the wall.
Oh, so you didn't put it on your pull list.
I'd forgotten.
Oh.
And so I was afraid I wasn't going to get it, but then I got the email from my store, and it was one of the bolded ones, meaning the things they were excited about this week, and I was like, Jake knows my heart. Jake, too, is going to be reading My Little Pony.
That's funny. Did you read Batman Inc., the new one?
I did.
What do you think?
It was pretty good.
That was my favorite.
It was the best issue since Volume 2, I think.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it was just...
I feel bad for poor Damian, though.
Yep.
And surely this is not going to be like... permanent thing, because he's still going to be a Batman and Robin. You can't take the Robin away from the rest of the Bat books, you know?
No.
So clearly this is just a thing that's happening.
I thought it was interesting that Barbara Gordon was in a wheelchair again.
Was still Oracle-style in a wheelchair.
Yeah.
I am so glad that they were able to say, screw you to the new continuity.
And we're doing it this way.
And stick with what they'd already created.
Yep.
If only they could have done that with the whole book.
I know. Stephanie Brown. But I look.
And everything else. Everything else. That book should have just stayed out of main 52 continuity.
The ending, though, with the big cliffhanger, or just the big thing that happened at the end of Batman Inc. Spoiler. The explosion that I think killed a lot of the Batman Inc. people.
Yeah.
I wasn't expecting that at all.
Me neither.
That was cool. But my comics, I was so disappointed this week. Batman Inc. was the only one that I loved. Everything else was like, meh. Okay, not meh. That was a weird way. Like, eh, or lame. Let's see. Flash was lame.
I
love that. Yeah, Flash was lame. Aquaman was okay. Ghostbusters was okay. What else? Let's see. What else did I get? Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles was meh. What? Let's see. I didn't get any Marvel titles. Oh, Batman Dark Knight. I'm dropping that.
Is this finally done with that?
No, there's one more issue, but I don't care. That was.
What was the big twist about the Scarecrow's backstory or something?
I don't know, because I was reading, like, what's
the... There's a twist.
Yeah, I saw it. Like, what twist? Did I miss something? Did I skip a page on accident? You know, sticky fingers and grab two pages instead of one?
Who knows?
I don't know. So, I don't remember what else. I mean, there's nothing that was memorable.
Yeah.
Except for Batman Inc. That one was great, but everything else was just... I was really disappointed.
See, Batman Inc. is the only DC book I got this week.
That's all I got was DC and IDW.
And then I got My Little Pony. I got, Prophet and Multiple Warheads both came out.
Oh, so how are those?
It was Brandon Graham week, and they were both phenomenal, as always.
Oh, Justice League Dark, that's the other one I got. That was all right. Isn't that great?
Yeah. Again, with Multiple Warheads, I love the Image lets him do this, but there's not an ad anywhere in the book. The front and back covers... This is the second issue, too.
That's good. That's the one thing that I really hate about comic books.
But what does Image do? Image puts any ads always at the back. And there's usually four or five pages of ads for other Image comics. They don't put ads for Scatterbrains or whatever was on the back of our Marvel comics forever, which are like darts with sticky brains.
Yeah, I remember that. I remember we were ranting about that.
Yeah, there's none of that. It is advertisements for other Image titles.
Cool.
That's what they put in the back, and it never breaks up the narrative continuity, because it's always at the end of the book.
Yeah.
But with Multiple Warheads, this is the second issue, and they've done first issues that don't have them. Bedlam's first issue didn't have them, but its second issue did. Saga's first issue didn't have them, but all the other issues have. Second issue of Multiple Warheads, still front cover to back cover, every bit of it created by Brandon Graham and designed to be a part of the comic.
And this is the thing I like.
It requires an attention to detail that you just can't wrap your head
there
around.
There are some comics.
Same with Mind Management does the same thing.
Yeah, they don't have ads. Yeah, that's true.
Not a single ad.
I really like Matt Kent. I just like him as a person. Like, he's just so great on Twitter. He's just really nice, you know? This is the thing I don't like about ads. Is there are some comics that I know my 9-year-old nephew, who loves comic books, Brigham, could read as a comic by itself.
But then you
have the ads where you have, you know, Harley Quinn in this really slutty outfit. Yeah. It's like, Brigham would love The Flash. Yeah. And it's clean, and it's great for the... I think it's all ages, not in the sense where you have a 6-year-old, but you could have a 9, 10-year-old read that.
Yeah.
Flash. I think even Action Comics, he probably might not understand what's going on at the time, but...
It's a book whose content and tone would work for a 10-year-old.
Yes. I would not let him read it, though, because of these smutty ads. And it drives me nuts.
This is silly.
I don't understand. And we've ranted and raved about over-sexuality with comic books, but I really wish that they...
Because it's not like we're anti-sexuality. Sexuality has its time and place. But it's when it's done in a...
Superfluously.
It's superfluously or in an exploitative manner that I have a problem with it. And so often it's done simply to be TNA. There's no point in the narrative for this person to be wearing or not wearing what it is that she is wearing or not wearing. You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I just...
Again, if you can fit it into the narrative flow, if there's a narrative reason for her to be scantily clad and or naked, by all means, make it fit the book. If it fits into the storyline, great. But most of the time, it doesn't.
No, most of the time, it's just it's just playing to the male demographic, and you go to conventions. I've never been to one, but seeing the pictures, seeing articles, it's not white males anymore at all.
No, it's not. The comic readership is not a bunch of 25-year-old.
And that's what makes me mad too. It's like, you know,
but that's still who they cater to because it's who they see as their demographic, whether it's their actual demographic or not.
Oh, well, I mean, I'm reading the history of Marvel right now, which I think I said in a previous episode, but yeah, I mean, granted, you have a bunch of white males working in the industry.
Yeah.
And then you have, I mean,
that
that's
perpetuates the problem.
Yeah, it does. So even though a lot of them are very progressive thinkers or whatnot, I don't know who's promoting lack of diversity with characters and who's promoting the sexuality with the female characters. Because the one thing I love about Captain Marvel is that is a character that I would want if I have a daughter and she wants to read comic books, I'm having her read Captain Marvel.
Yeah.
Because it's not sexualized at all. And Carol Danvers is a very strong character. You know, and granted, if Carol Danvers wanted to, I mean, it's not, but again, I'm saying, like, her costume is, it makes sense.
Yeah. And it works so much better than her old costume, because her old costume was a high-cut bathing suit.
You know? Yeah.
What? I know you're super-powered, but do you really need to wear so, like, what's the point of the high-cut? Do you need your hips also exposed to be able to kick as high as you
yeah.
can? So her current outfit just makes sense, because it's like...
I always like that, though, when people try to justify, like, especially in the Olympics, for example. Like,
oh my gosh, yes!
Like the female runners as opposed to the male runners? Like, they're wearing, like...
Or the female, the sand volleyball. That's the one that kills me.
The bikinis?
The guys are wearing tank tops and huge basketball shorts to their knees, but then the women are mandated...
They're mandated to wear bikinis?
Are you serious? The rule of the sport is the
they're mandated
and
to wear.
Yeah, because the most recent Olympics,
it was cold,
and so they wanted to wear long sleeve shirts, and they said nope, you have to wear the uniforms.
It's mandated.
So they put
one of the teams put long johns underneath their damn sports bra.
Yeah.
And they wore long johns underneath their damn sports bras.
You've got to be kidding me. It's mandated.
Yeah, that's the sports mandate.
You've got to be kidding me.
And the argument I heard was that that's where all the ratings come from for the Olympics, is the women's volleyball.
You know what, horny men? We should not cater to horny men. That's what I'm saying.
There's plenty of pornographic sites to cater to.
Yeah, no joke. I mean, if you're going to look at... Oh, jeez.
Touche.
Well,
I
like,
agree.
And that's why I love Batgirl right now, and even Batwoman. I mean... It makes sense that they're going to have a full-body armor suit.
But see, I think like Batwoman is a great example of how to use sex and sexuality effectively in a comic, mm-hmm. and when not to use it. You know, there is, in an earlier issue, there's a sex scene between her and Maggie.
Oh, really?
It's done completely tastefully. You don't see any... I mean, it's still rated teen. It's not rated teen plus, so it's anything you'd see in a PG-13 movie, not including Titanic.
Yeah.
So you don't see any,
so I mean, fun, that's PG-13.
You don't see any like smuttiness. It's done really beautifully through the artwork, but that's because it fit into the narrative flow. Like, of course, that's a thing that happens right then. But you haven't seen.
But Catwoman, you're going to go on the totally opposite spectrum.
Seriously.
And Red Hood and the Outlaws. I mean, I actually read this blog post by this mother who was like, you know, my daughter loved. I can't remember her name right now. Starfire.
Maybe.
What's your name? Starfire, right? Yeah. So she loves Starfire, and she's like, I don't want...
I was thinking of Firestar, but Firestar's the person from Spider-Man and His Amazing Friends.
Yeah, yeah. I think it... Whoever the princess is...
Spider-Man, faster! Matthew always used to
say. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. Whoever the princess something in Red Hood and the Outlaws. Starfire, yeah. So... It's like, my daughter was reading...
She's awesome in Teen Titans.
Yeah, that's when the daughter loved her. 9 years old, and she was reading, like, why is Starfire a slut? You know? 9 year old is thinking this, and she's like, I don't like what they did to her. Like, why is she... And the whole thing, because Starfire goes up to, is it Speedy still? He's in the Red Hood? Is it?
No.
I thought it was someone else. But he's the Red Arrow.
Yeah.
But it's not the same. So... She goes up to him and is like, do you want me? Do you want to have sex with me? Or something weird like that. It was just very dumb. And the mother's like, why did you have to do this? You've now ruined another female character that my daughter loved and doesn't associate with at all anymore.
Yep.
It's just sad. So DC.
That's okay. I don't think you're gonna see Red Hulk, Red She-Hulk sleeping with anybody right now. She is beating up a lot of people in her comic lately. She beat up
is it good?
Avengers. Yeah.
Really?
I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
And Journey into Mystery.
Amazing.
The opening, like the splash page, was a throwout to Shaft.
Really? Shaft.
Yeah, that's exactly what it was. Like, it said, who's the lady from Asgard who's all big and bad and all this kind of stuff? And then the little kids go, Sif! Can you dig it?
Are you serious?
It's hilarious.
That is great.
Hit it out of the park.
So it was a good issue.
And I felt like the artist did a really good job of making a ridiculous outfit look awesome.
Really?
Because Sif's outfit in the comics is kind of silly.
Oh, yeah.
But
all the Asgard costumes are.
But she looks like a bad A.
Really?
Oh, yeah. And she, like, she is the Lady Sif in that book, so I enjoyed it.
Oh, that's cool. What else did I read that I really like?
Catherine Immelman, and her husband's doing great work on All New X-Men.
Hey, did you like Future Foundation?
I did, a lot better than I like Fantastic Four.
That's what I heard. It was the better
mostly,
it was better the two.
Mostly it's All Red's art, man. Mike and Laura All Red, man. Those guys, they do great art.
I think
great
it's so
work.
Cool about the couple that draws and colors together.
Yeah, they do great.
You wonder if there's like, and they've been doing this for a while, so that's
that's
Loki. Yeah, but you wonder like, how do you deal with that dynamic? Like, I remember I was dating a girl, and
I mean, Terry and Rachel Dodson do it too.
Yeah, because so I was dating this girl, and I worked as an intern for a chiropractic office, and then girl I was dating was doing the marketing stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh, I realize I don't think...
You don't want to date coworkers or work with your lovers.
Like when I hopefully one day have my own chiropractic office, some people have their wife in the office, and maybe it'll be different on who I marry, but after
like,
that experience...
I don't know if I really want that.
Well, it's like, I don't... Because you have to get in work mode sometimes, and so I would feel terrible. I don't want to talk that way to my wife.
Yeah.
You know? So, I don't know. It was... So I wonder what obviously they're doing well. I mean, they're still married and seem
happy. And like
and
I say, it just looks great.
Yeah.
It's a great looking book.
I think the artwork is so... It reminds me of the 50s and 60s.
It's... But not. Like, it's like a weird surreal version
of
the 50s and 60s.
Like an alternate version?
I really love their style. And so too with Terry and Rachel Dodson. They do great work.
Yeah.
But... Yeah, I gotta give Mike and Laura Allred props for doing some of the best art I saw this last week. I mean, yeah, it was just great looking.
What book was it on?
FF.
Oh, Allred's, you mean?
Yeah, it was great. And it just felt a lot more dynamic and exciting than Fantastic Four was. Because Fantastic Four was a good first issue, but I felt like FF was a great first issue.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm hoping that we'll get more of that caliber stuff.
And, okay, the character who's, like, she-thing,
uh-huh.
Is that a costume?
I don't know. She's Johnny Storm's girlfriend.
Oh.
And they have not introduced her in the costume yet.
Oh. So that's what I'm curious about. Because she looks like she's a normal human.
She's a movie star.
Yeah.
She's a movie star that Johnny Storm is dating.
Of course he is.
And
yeah.
I think,
always
and
movie
I,
stars.
And I think it's a suit that she's wearing.
Yeah, that makes sense. But I don't remember anything else that stuck out my mind that I read, but... Yeah, this week was pretty lame with comics. Last week was great. This week was...
Bedlam issue 2 was super...
That's what I heard. Because number 1 was good.
Number 1 was phenomenal.
So what made number 2 bad?
It was so different, so wordy, and unnecessarily so.
Oh, I was going to say... Okay, when you're done, I have another comment.
But yeah, I'm done.
Talon. I'm done with Talon.
I heard that...
Talon was way over-expository. Way over-expository. And the thing is, it's like, you
come
know
on,
what?
Guys, go to
this,
the Jeff Lemire.
Yeah, writing.
How to write a comic.
It was like, this isn't Winter Soldier, actually. This is Gambit. This is DC's version of Gambit.
Ouch.
And that's not a good thing.
Gambit's the worst. I hate that guy.
I just remember him from the
He was
TV
awesome
show.
In the TV show.
Long show.
I loved him in the TV show. I was so jealous that Rogue liked him. I want Rogue to like me.
That's because you didn't have a crush on Rogue.
I know, right? The white hair streak.
Who are you kidding? When I was 7 and 8 watching that show, I had a crush on all three of them.
Yeah.
For different reasons.
Yeah.
Sometimes it's Rogue, sometimes it's Storm, sometimes
Jean
it's
Grey.
Jean Grey,
I didn't... See, Jean Grey didn't like very much because I didn't like Cyclops. Like, you're in love with Cyclops?
I
can't get into you. But
Cyclops.
Man, Rogue? Oh.
Dude, Rogue's a honey.
Oh, yeah. Because of Gambit.
Interesting about the X-Men.
Oh yeah, the big
Ultimate
news.
Ultimate X-Men.
I thought, okay, what?
Oh man, Brian Wood hitting out of the park.
Oh yeah.
Here's the new storyline. It's called Reservation X.
Yeah. Like Indian Reservation.
There are only 20 mutants who did not take the cure.
What?
The mutant population. Because you know how in the regular Marvel Universe, for a while it was depleted to 200, but now it's back because of the mutants.
Yeah, now it's 20.
There are 20 mutants, and they have been given a god-awful piece of 18 square miles in southern Utah.
Oh.
So it's like reservation style.
It is a res. They've been given a res.
Oh.
And that is that, and they're no longer, they had to surrender their citizenship as citizens of the United States of America.
Well, are they all American?
Yeah.
Because aren't there mutants other places?
Well, these are only the American mutants.
So not left in the whole world, just left in the United States.
In the United States.
Okay.
Is that Captain America stealing?
It was the best he could do, given the situation. And he feels horrible about it, apparently. But
he should.
All he could do.
Oh, jeez.
But, yeah, it's interesting to see what's happening there.
I'm excited for when Brian Wood writes the Star Wars comic in January, Dark Horse.
Me too.
That'll be good.
Me too.
Did you hear about the X-Men news where they're going to have Ian McKellen?
Dude,
and Patrick Stewart. And Wolverine, right? Hugh
Wolverine's
Jackman?
Wolverine's going to be in.
Yeah.
Because they're going to start filming as soon as he's done filming Wolverine, the movie Wolverine.
Uh-huh.
So he's still in shape. He's still got the chops. He's still got the hair. It's called Come Be in This Other Movie.
Why not?
Everything's tying together, man.
Yeah. Oh, also movie news. Okay. Because when I told you about this, I was for it, but now I think I'm against it. Gordon Levitt. Maybe being Batman.
Joseph Gordon-Levitt.
No!
Wait, he's going to be who?
There was a rumor that they were going to have him play Batman in the Justice
League. And continue
League.
It from no. the Nolan movies.
And to tie the Nolan movies into the Justice League movies.
I really
which is
like
a horrible
Joseph
idea.
Gordon-Levitt.
I love him, but A, if he's going to be Batman, name him Bruce Mother Effin' Wayne. And B, don't try to tie it into the Nolan films. Nolan films are their own thing.
But sometimes the Robin becomes the Batman. Right?
Yeah, and it happened
once.
In the comics. Yeah, Dick Grayson.
So there's precedent.
But when you're doing a Justice League movie, you gotta have Bruce Wayne.
Because
these were my thoughts at first. I was kind of like, oh, that's a natural progression of at least if you're gonna tie in the Batman movies. That's a great way to do it because people are familiar with him, and it's Batman. This is the Nolan movies. They love it. Man of Steel is going to be tied in a Justice League movie. It makes natural sense. In theory, but then I realize, no. It doesn't need a Batman tie-in, because we already just had Batman. And the thing is, here's a thought. Now the news of the Wonder Woman TV show, it could be good.
I know.
It
at
could
least,
be good.
At least they're not actually going to change her name.
That was just them trying to be sneaky.
The Iris?
Yeah.
That was just them trying to be sneaky.
I know you were ticked about
it. I like Arrow. I really like Arrow.
That's what you said.
Last episode was definitely WB with, like, they had a lot of lame, cheesy music and is more relationship-focused. And The Huntress I was not a big fan of. But, like, as a TV show, I like it. So here are my thoughts. Why do you need movies? Why not tie in Wonder Woman TV show, the Arrow TV show, Man of Steel into the Justice League movie? Why not? You could have Green Arrow. You could at least have an appearance of him in it. You use the same actor. He's a good actor. And the Wonder Woman actress?
I'm sure they won't do it, though.
No, they won't. But if that's a good way of doing it naturally, setting it up, and also... Because, I mean, think of how much that helped their TV shows. If the Justice League movie does well, because the S.H.I.E.L.D. TV show, who's not excited to see that?
Only a yogurt.
Exactly. So, if they like the Justice League movie, would only help Arrow and Wonder Woman TV shows even more.
That's probably true.
But you're seeing a lot more focus of them at least introducing the characters through the video games and through TV than they are through the movies.
But it's like we've discussed, Justice League needs no introduction.
Yeah, it doesn't. So, once again, why do you need
some people from the Justice League?
which...
Justice League...
Give me one person.
Superman's team. The team that Superman, Wonder Woman, and Batman are on.
I was just gonna say Wonder Woman and Batman.
But you know,
that's the Trinity. Those are the three main characters in DC continuity. Name some of the other people who you'd find on that team.
Do you know the Flash?
Is Green Lantern on that team?
Yeah,
Green Lantern is?
Yeah.
You know who the Flash is?
Yeah.
Do you know who Aquaman is?
Yeah, he lives in the ocean.
Yeah.
There you go.
But did people know who Iron Man was before the movies? No.
And that's why
Thor?
You don't need all the setup.
Yeah.
If I mention the Flash, you know that the Flash runs real fast.
Yeah.
Which
and
is
you,
all you need
and
to know.
And he wears red and has lightning bolts.
Aquaman is a man who's in the aqua.
Who has?
In the aqua.
He's the king of Atlantis.
You need to know. He's a fish man. And it's right there in the name.
It just reminds me of The Office when Michael Scott says something about how he's Batman or Superman or something, and they're...
Really?
Do you know which one I'm talking about? And they correct him, and then he's like, well, fine. Where does he live? I'm Aquaman. Where does he live, guys? And Jim goes, in the ocean.
That's right.
Oh, I miss good times at The Office. Anyway, so... I just feel like... You don't need an introduction.
The DC characters need no introduction. You don't need to do build up to a team movie.
No, and I think
if you
I think
do
Zach's
the team movie right. Man of Steel is more than enough.
Yeah,
build up.
You even need all you need is like Batman. All you need is like an appearance of Batman or something.
Which I've heard rumors that they're gonna do like an after credit sequence.
Yeah, that's all you need though. That's all you need
with Batman.
That's all you need.
I don't know if it's actually gonna happen.
But even if it did, you don't. It'd work. And I think Zack Snyder will direct the movie.
Justice League?
Yeah, I think he will.
Is that what they're talking about? Is having him do Justice
There's,
League?
Well, he's never come out and said it, but they've asked her, do you have any attachment to him? He's like, yeah, you know, I'd be open. Man of Steel might have an attachment.
Well,
I think he would. He did Watchmen, Man of Steel.
The fact of the matter
is... I didn't like Watchmen.
Watchmen is a poor adaptation. But in terms of its visual flair...
Oh, yeah. It looked just like
Snyder,
the copy.
Snyder knows how to make a visually stunning movie.
And if
it's
he
like
has...
Sucker Punch.
Yeah.
Sucker Punch is not a great movie, but visually stunning. It's
yeah, I mean, if you have someone guiding him like Nolan is doing with Man of Steel...
So, I think... If you can guide Snyder and give him a script that has a good narrative to it... He could make a fun
because is it? I've never seen Watchmen. Is it his fault that Watchmen wasn't good?
I don't know. It depends on who did the adaptation,
the
screen adaptation.
Yeah. So
Googling.
Which I don't think he did. But anyway,
I don't know who did it. David Hayter and Alex Tsai.
Yeah. See.
So you guys did not do it right.
So I
because I mean, in terms of the visuals, it's stunning.
And the previews for Man of Steel visually look incredible.
Yeah.
So anyway.
Yeah, we'll see what happens. Anyway, we should probably wrap this up.
Yeah.
It's been about an hour.
That's it?
Yeah.
Holy cow.
And we got a party to go to, and you got to drive back home and study
I
for
do.
Your test.
And I have a paper to write.
And you have a 10-page paper due at 1:30 tomorrow.
So. What? Okay. Have you started?
No.
Oh.
I
kick to the gut.
I am ready to be done with this semester.
Oh, before we end, though.
Slash school altogether.
I've been ready to be done since mid-October.
Before we end, you should briefly talk about Antelope Library.
Oh, yeah.
Crowdfunding.
So I'm starting a library, and it's called the Antelope Lending Library. And it's a small community library on the southeast side of Iowa City. So we're really excited about it.
We've got 20% almost of our funding right now.
Yep, so we launched our funding the...
2 weeks ago.
Yep, the Monday of Thanksgiving week. And it's going really great. It's on Indiegogo. So you just go to indiegogo.com/antelope-lending-library.
And that's indie as in like indie records.
Yeah, like
Indiegogo.
I-N-D-I-E.
Not Indiegogo.
Or Indiegogo.
Yeah.
Indiegogo.com/antelope-lending-library.
But yeah.
Donate because it's... We're going to use comics to teach literacy to children on the southeast side of Iowa City.
Yeah, and we're going to talk more about that.
We'll have an
podcast.
Episode about it later on after this goes
I think the cool thing is, like, these kids on the southeast side, right?
Mm-hmm.
They don't really have access to a library.
They don't.
So right now in Iowa City, there's the Downtown Public Library, which is awesome, but it just isn't very accessible,
especially if you don't have a car and you're on the southeast side of town.
Yeah. So.
And isn't it by a police station? I got confused by this.
No, so what the Downtown Library has done is they have done community outreach and put computer labs in other places in the city, and one of those places on the southeast side is in the police station, which makes sense from a fiscal point of view because the city already owns that land, so they didn't have to pay for rent. But just in terms of logistics, it probably wasn't as great a choice as it could have been. And I don't even know if it's still there anymore. They weren't very successful.
Yeah, who wants to go to a police station to go use the computer?
Yeah. I mean, there were lots of reasons why it was unsuccessful. But our location is going to be in the strip mall that's over there. Is it a strip mall? It's not really a strip mall. It's an inside mall.
It's an inside mall.
It's a regular mall. It's a small mall. And it's going to be really great. We're super excited about it. We're hoping to open in February. And we're going to do lots of like literacy and learning workshops and events. And you can hear the puppy crying in the background. And
that's what that whistling noise is.
And we're going to do things like evening story time, so working parents can bring their kids to story time. Right now there aren't opportunities like that. We're going to do English language classes. We're going to do...
There's a lot of Hispanics in the area, right?
Lots of immigrant families.
Immigrants. They're not, just Hispanics.
Not just Hispanics.
There's a lot from Africa.
Yeah, from the Congo.
There's some from the Middle East. They're from all over the place.
Yeah.
Really? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
It's a very diverse population.
So for a lot of those families, their children act as their interpreters, which is less than ideal, especially when your children are in elementary school. So
we're trusting your third grader to be your interpreter.
Yeah. So so we want to help empower these families so that they can be their own advocates.
And again, we're going to use comic books to teach literacy. We have our friend Beth, who we're trying to convince to come on the podcast. And
she's a little nervous about it, but she'll be great.
Yeah, because she's done a huge project about how to use comic books to teach
literacy. Beth, you shouldn't be nervous. I realized for the Electra episode, I was listening to myself, I'm like, oh, you should never record late at night ever again.
No, yes, we should. That's one of the best.
Oh, I was just cringing at some of the things I was saying.
It's so funny, though.
I was like, Darren, you're an idiot. You're like, you're drunk, but you're not. I mean, all you have to do is be old. I'm like getting old, where if I'm up late at night, I get, you know, totally...
like slurred voice.
Yeah, slurred voice. That'd be terrible. Yeah. I was cringing at things I was saying. Brayden was on his A game. I was cracking up at everything Brayden was saying. Anyway, sorry.
But yes, so that's the library, and we're super excited about it. And so you should give us money.
I donated.
Yeah.
And I think I'm going to start putting on the Twitter feed about your...
Yeah, thing. Well, you've been doing it so far already.
Yeah, so...
So, which has been awesome.
So, yeah, let's get a library.
Yeah, we've got community partners that we're stoked about. We're excited to just provide space on the Southeast side for other organizations to come in and do activities. Because right now, there are a few, but it doesn't hurt to have more, so...
It's true. There's never enough.
Yeah. And almost everyone I talk to is really excited about it. And I think that's a good sign that it's a good idea.
Very, very true.
And look, reading empowers people in,
it's true.
A lot of ways. So I think it's a great idea.
Well,
I'm excited.
Oh, thanks.
Let's go be adults, friends.
Yeah.
And party.
Like adults. That's the name of the episode. Let's go be adults.
Let's go be adults. So okay. This has been adult conversation.
That has
Thanksgiving,
nudity
and comic books. I feel like such a parent, like getting mad at comic books for.
That's okay. Yeah. It's a good thing.
Yeah. Oh my gosh,
we're also parents because that puppy is such a whiner. I'm so sorry, Loki. You're just jumping everywhere.
Yeah, he just really likes to be in the middle of everything.
Yeah.
So when we put him to the side, he's unhappy. Anyway, let's go do this thing.
Yeah. Until next time. Happy reading.